This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
So Arsenal won the Community Shield at the weekend. I think we ask this every summer. Is it going to be any different this season? Can Arsenal actually challenge for the Premier League title?
I'm not sure if they can challenge for the Premier League title. I certainly expect them to be a lot better this season. I've been relatively impressed with their business over the summer. I think, you know, a lot was expected of Arsene Wenger. I think he was expected, well, a lot of people were pressuring him into spending massive amounts of money, you know, PSG money or Everton money, as it's now called in the Premier League. He hasn't really done that. He's just sort of solved a couple of problems. Lacazette, bringing in Alexander Lacazette, I think, is a proven goal scorer. That's what they need. I think you saw that in the Community Shield. He didn't have his best game, but you could see the finishing instinct was there. And once he gets used to his new team and his new teammates, I expect him to start firing. And Kolasinac as well is a free transfer from Schalke. I think could be one of the signings of the summer. I mean, I've watched him in pre-season as well. I can't say I've seen much of him in the Bundesliga. Stefan will be able to tell us more about that. But from what I've seen from him for Arsenal, he's been excellent. And he's kind of solved a problem that I don't think Arsenal really knew they had. You know, he's playing at that left side of the three at the back, which means that further up the field, if they allow him just to bomb forward on that left side, they don't really need to play a left winger anymore. You know, they can play attackers who can drift inside and help Lacazette. So as I say, solved a problem they didn't really knew they had. So yeah, I've been fairly impressed with their business. And I expect them to, expect them to finish in the top four. Maybe not challenge for the title, but I expect better from them.
Yeah, I wonder if just the kind of pressure that Wenger got last season, almost to the point where a lot of people were convinced he was going to leave, if this is kind of just, you know, really giving him a shake, really forced him to kind of step out of his comfort zone and really put money down in the transfer market. Graham's right, we haven't really seen Arsenal go out and spend this amount of money over a sustained period of time in quite some time, maybe ever actually, under Arsene Wenger. Also add Mustafi to that, who only signed under 12 months ago, yeah, at least. Kolasinac is an absolute monster, not as a left back in the Bundesliga. He might be playing in left side centre back, but he can go up and down the pitch. He's physical, he's fast, you know, he's technically superb. He's going to be a great player for them. Lacazette's a great sign as well, as a great goal scorer. But they've also, as things stand, they also kept Alexis Sanchez. So I think most Arsenal fans would probably say they're quite pleasantly surprised actually at just how well the club have actually done.
Yeah, I think there's a case to be made that if everything stays as it is and they manage to keep Alexis Sanchez and Mesut Ozil, I would say maybe Arsenal have the most balanced starting lineup in the Premier League, which, you know, it's quite a thought given they finished fifth last season. But if you look from front to back, you know, they've got an experienced goalkeeper, they've got a good solid back two. I know they're now switching to a back three, but good centre-back pairing, two excellent full-backs, strong in central midfield. They've now got Lacazette up front, and then they'll have Sanchez and Ozil behind him. Well, I mean, that's a pretty strong lineup.
And I think on paper, nobody would argue with that. I think you guys obviously know. The problem seems to be they've all been on paper, a good team on paper, particularly the last couple of seasons. I think maybe going into the season, we would have said the same thing. I mean, arguably, they're even more balanced this season. Do you think the problem doesn't really lie in who they've got in the squad, though? Is it more maybe Wenger himself or the actual mentality in the dressing room?
Soft centre, haven't they, for quite a while?
Has that been solved, or is it one of those things you can't really tell until the season begins?
Now you mention it, I'm not sure if that has been solved, actually. I think a lot of fans are probably quite disappointed that Xhaka wasn't as good as he was perhaps billed to be. I remember at the time saying, you know, I had a lot of Arsenal fans ask me what he was like, and I was like, I've got to be honest with you, Gladbach will be laughing all the way to the bank with the amount of money Arsenal spent on him. He's a good player, but he's no world beater. And whether he can get better this season, he certainly didn't play his best for Arsenal last season, there's no doubt about that, but if he can get better, then they do have a dynamic central midfielder there. But, you know, just to go back to the general theme you're talking about, that's also a good point. Wenger has always been quite good at running the club to a certain extent. Even before he was forced to spend money, they did quite well to, you know, recruit young players and kind of put a decent squad together every season. For me, the problem with Wenger comes from the fact he's not actually a very good coach. He's not a very good tactician, in my opinion. In the current games, I think the likes of Conte, I think Mourinho, Rodgers perhaps in the past as well, they've got the better of him because they are superior in that regard. So yeah, they have put a better squad together than they have in recent times, but when it comes down to actual the crunch games, I do still wonder. I think they still have quite some way to prove.
Yeah, they need stone cold killers, don't they, in their team, and I don't know if they've got enough of them. What I would say is, from what I've seen of Lacazette, he maybe fits that bill. I mean, part of the problem with this soft centre, I think, comes from up front. And Olivier Giroud, I don't think he's nearly as bad as people make out, but in the big games, he does have a tendency to go missing. I don't think this is probably going... This is one of these things where you favourite for months later and Lacazette's been dropped to the bench and he missed a million chances against Manchester United or something like that. But from what I've seen, I don't think Lacazette is of the same kind of character. He looks like he thrives on the big occasions. So, yeah, I think his signing maybe changes the mentality, but they really need someone, I think, in the centre midfield to be the Vieira type almost. Now, if I was Arsene Wenger, I probably would have prioritised someone like Nainggolan this summer. I think would have been one of the players I would have went for. So yeah, there are certainly still questions to be asked about that, and something still to be addressed.
Yeah. What have you got the klaxon right, the Patrick Vieira klaxon, whenever someone mentions, talks about Arsenal.
I know.
Everything comes back to
I'm
Patrick
glad this
Vieira.
Isn't the morning, otherwise it could have been a drinking game. But we're talking about, obviously, tactics and Arsene Wenger, and you mentioned briefly, Graeme, that he's changed to a back three. Is that the right system for Arsenal? Can you see that working for them?
I think, in a strange way, by changing at the back, I think it makes them stronger up front, and I'll explain why. I think you have Kolasinac and Bellerin now bombing up the left and right side, and Kolasinac has been playing on the left side of the back three. Yesterday or at the weekend, Oxlade-Chamberlain was the fullback, and I think that's a position he could play in, but I think eventually you'll see Mustafi go into that back three and Kolasinac will become the left back. So what that means is they don't actually have to play wingers anymore, and for Arsenal, wingers has been a problem for the last couple of years. They haven't had traditional wingers. They've had people like Alexis Sanchez, who can play in the left, but, you know, isn't a winger. You don't want Alexis Sanchez hugging the touchline. So it means that they can basically ignore that position up front and make better use of even players like Theo Walcott. I watched Walcott in pre-season against, I've forgotten who it was. It was in one of the Emirates Cup games, which are always billed as competitive games. But, you know, maybe Sevilla, I think it was. And he looked so much better when he was allowed to drift inside and help Giroud, it was, in that game. So I think up front it helps them. At the back, I question whether they've got the personnel to play three at the back. I mean, it only seems like yesterday that we were talking about Arsenal struggling for two at the back. Yeah, and now they need a third person. And that third person seems to be Rob Holding, who he certainly excelled and exceeded expectations after signing from Bolton. But is he the calibre that Arsenal need in that back three? I'm not so sure. So that's where the weakness is. It does kind of feel a bit, though, like Wenger is just copying Antonio Conte, though, doesn't it? Well, that works. Let's just, you know, shoehorn everyone in at a back three.
Yeah, worked at the weekend, didn't it? I mean, obviously, penalty win, but win's a win.
Did anyone have any clue how that penalty shootout was working, by the way?
I only saw the highlights of the game, and I was just like, what's going on?
Why was Courtois taking the second penalty?
I don't know. Did they think he was, like, is it chilling?
Well, he has a penalty taker for Chelsea, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Petr Cech was saying that he did take penalties when those two were together. But it was a penalty shootout called an ABBA penalty shootout. Yeah, I don't think anyone knew how it worked.
They did it in the German Cup as well, I believe. Super Cup, sorry. So
very bizarre.
Must be good if they're using it in Germany.
Well, exactly.
Back to kind of Arsenal then. Let's talk Alexis Sanchez. Is it worth Arsenal keeping him against his will? Is an unhappy player going to be fruitful for them this season? Or are they as well cashing in and trying to get people to replace him? I say people because I think there aren't many individual players that could probably replace him. You might disagree, but what do you guys think?
No, I think they probably should hold on to him, actually. A lot's been made of him wanting to leave the club, and obviously he's demanding Champions League football in the very top, and I'm not entirely sure what he expected when he joined Arsenal. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't join Arsenal and expect to be challenging for titles. I'm afraid that's just the reality of the Premier League these days. But, you know, a lot is made of player power and the simple fact. Whenever I watch Alexis Sanchez, he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who will throw a huff in regards to not playing. He seems like the kind of guy who just instinctively, naturally can't help but play football. I think Arsenal are a club who do quite well to deal with traumas or personalities, and at least maybe not well, but better than most other Premier League clubs. So if he's genuinely wants out and the club are refusing to do that, I can still see him, you know, still playing the way he has been playing and still and seeing what happens this season.
Yeah, I would. I mean, it's one maybe for that only Arsene Wenger will know, because he'll know the character of the player in the dressing room. If he is the sort to kick up a fuss, and we have seen a bit of petulance from Alexis Sanchez in the past, but that was more about, I think, the ambition of Arsenal as a club, and I think Arsenal have shown a bit of ambition this summer, so maybe that would appease him. But I would compare it to the Cristiano Ronaldo situation that Manchester United had just before he left for Real Madrid all those years ago. Real Madrid came in for him in the summer of 2008, and Manchester United were just at that point where they couldn't let go of him there, and they basically agreed to let him go the next summer, which, if in Sanchez's case, because his contract is up, they could say to him, right, you can leave next summer. Mm. I just think it's such an important juncture for Arsenal at the moment. They need to get back in that top four, otherwise you risk being in the situation that Liverpool were for a number of years, where you're just always trying to claw your way back up to the top four, and when you're not in the top four, you can't sign the players that of the highest caliber. So yeah, I would keep hold of Alexis Sanchez. The one I maybe would entertain offers for is Mesut Ozil, but no one seems to be interested in Mesut Ozil, so I guess he'll be staying there for.
It's a weird one. I mean, just staying on Sanchez for the time being, how much will he be affected in a positive way from the Lacazette signing? Is that a good thing for Sanchez, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think even to use another Man United example, Wayne Rooney is, you know, another former forward star who, when he felt that his club weren't reaching the same ambition that he was, he's quite public in it, and the first thing he came out and said was, you know, we're not signing the players we should be signing. And I think people need to maybe give players a bit more credit in that regard. They do read the newspapers, they do watch the news, they do know what's going on in their industry, you know. I don't think there's an Arsenal player in that squad who doesn't appreciate that the club perhaps hasn't been as ambitious. Now, How do you address that? Well, Arsene Wenger's addressed that by the players that he's signed. We're saying that suggests more ambition. So I think there's reason to believe that players in that squad, there might be a few saying, well, there goes my spot in the team, but the vast majority of them think, when a guy like Lacazette comes in, when you've got someone like Kolasinac who literally hits the ground running, you know, these guys, they galvanise the squad. And I think, you know, Arsenal, you know, in the first 10 games, they pick up 8 wins or something. They're chasing the title, and before you know it, Sanchez is quite happy to give another go.
Yeah, I think Alexis Sanchez is actually better off at Arsenal than he is at Manchester City. At Manchester City, Pep wants to use him as a false nine of sorts. That's a position that Alexis Sanchez was moved into for the latter half of last season at Arsenal. And while he can play there, it's not his best position. He thrives when he's got a centre forward to play alongside. And at Arsenal, he now has that centre forward in Alexander Lacazette. So if he stays at Arsenal, I mean, this is all hypothetical, because there's no way we can actually do a direct comparison. But I'm willing to bet that he'll have a better season at Arsenal than he would have at Manchester City.
That's really interesting. I think you're right. I think it's just a thing. He just seems that he wants to go. I don't know. And I think you've seen it before. You've seen it before as well. Where, like,
it might be the Pep factor as well. They've worked together with Pep, and Pep seems to have set his heart on him. So
and then also Ronaldo's last season at Man United. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was it quite good before he left?
Made the Champions League final.
Well, there you go. Exactly.
I think he might have won the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's it. So you don't. So
Sanchez might probably.
Well, that's it. I mean. Just kind of, you briefly mentioned that. What happens if Arsenal miss out in the top four this season?
Well, as I say, I think that's the gamble for Arsenal this season. I don't know what happens with Arsene Wenger if they miss out in the top four. I mean, he's got a 2-year contract. Would he stay for that last year? I think everyone's kind of treating that last season as a bit of a blip. Until then, he's always finished in the top four. So if it's then proven that it's not a blip, what does that do for Arsene Wenger? As I say, You could find Arsenal becoming Liverpool, and Klopp has kind of restored Liverpool recently. But for about a decade, Liverpool were this team which were always fighting against the tide, trying to get up into the top four. And when they did get into the top four, they couldn't make it stick. It was very difficult for them. So I think this is a very important point in Arsenal's recent history. They've had the Invincibles era. They've had this tedious cycle of tragic failure, if you want to call it that. Might be overplaying it slightly.
You get
my point. And now is like the third act of Arsene Wenger's career, the little bit at the end, and that will kind of decide, I think, his legacy and how he's remembered. And yeah, this season is massively important for them.
Yeah, because just to add to that, Arsene Wenger's fans and fanatics, they use that top four qualification, the constant top four qualification, as a silver bullet to defend him. He's built up a huge array of critics, myself included, I'd suggest, over the years. But you can't deny that up until last season, he had a tremendous record in the Premier League. Come rain or shine, whoever comes, Man City, Chelsea, Man United, no matter what happens, Arsenal were always in the top four. And if he can no longer guarantee that, then what, he doesn't have anything else to guarantee Arsenal. So I think, you know, I think I wouldn't be as dramatic to say it's his last peg to stand on, but it's the last one defining characteristic we can use to defend Wenger, is that he finishes in the top four. And if he can't do it anymore, he no longer becomes, you know, a viable option.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.